But as promised, we are joined right now by the president of basketball operations for the Denver Nuggets. He previously served as GM and executive VP of basketball operations. He joined that team back in 2013. He spent three seasons as the assistant GM in New Orleans. Denver is 43-22. They're in first in the Northwest Division before the season was suspended, and it's going to resume shortly. We are joined by Tim Connolly. Tim, it is great to have you on the show. Tim, before I talk to you about everything I want to get to, first let me ask you this. How are you and everybody around you doing during this really unusual time, Tim?
It's definitely weird, but the NBA has done a great job creating a pretty cool and safe environment. Our guys have quickly adapted, and it's fun to get back out there on the court. Miss the family, miss the kids, but all in all, hard to complain relative to what we're seeing day to day.
Tim Connolly is joining us. I mean, there's certainly no doubt about that. Like, what's it been like for you personally and the organization as a whole to make your way through and process this pandemic?
It's been challenging because there's been no answers and there's no experts. Certainly been a moving target. You hear different opinions day to day, and no one seems to really know what's the long-term effects. Certainly where our country is right now is not where we had hoped to be several months ago. What's been neat is, we have a really great group of guys. They've stayed connected. They've kind of challenged themselves to understand it. It's as weird as this is, it's still an opportunity to potentially win a championship, and I think they're pretty locked in right now.
Seems to me those who best understand that and approach it that way are going to have the best chance to be able to show up and then get it done. And then tomorrow's going to be your team's first action against a different NBA team for the first time in 4 months, which is amazing. What has it been like to go without basketball for that long, and how eager are you to get back to it?
It's crazy, man, because it's obviously I work in professional sports, but I'm a huge fan of sports, period. So I didn't realize how much I missed sports until they weren't available. Opening day, into the tournament, and now we're going to start the playoffs in mid-August. I think it's, we've challenged ourselves not to return to normal, but return better, and not just on the court. Obviously, there's a lot of issues right now that we're trying to have our guys not be scared to speak up and take substantive action. So collectively, it's been challenging, but it's been pretty neat to see a lot of these young guys, really smart guys and good people, find their voice away from the court. And now I think to your point is a good one. It's about your mental health down here. It's about focusing on what's in front of you. And hopefully, we have a puncher's chance. I think we have a really talented team. We've got a great coach. And I think our guys believe that we can win it all.
I actually love your coach, and I want to ask about Michael Malone in a minute, but I want to go back to a point you just made, Tim. Like, you've been very clear in the organization's support for your players who have spoken up for social justice and racial justice. Some organizations might have preferred to take a lower-profile approach. Why was it important for you to approach it the way that you have?
You're burying your head in the sand if you don't admit it's been an issue forever in our country. It's laughable that the greatest country in the world is where we are presently. And our players are our colleagues, and I think they have to feel empowered to speak up. You don't have to agree, and it's not party-driven or partisan-driven, but we're in a bad place right now, and our players have a big voice. It sounds cliche and corny, but they're role models. The more they speak up, the better, but now the challenge is not just speaking up, but what are we doing? How can we create sustainable change? So it's been inspiring and awesome learning from these guys. And again, we're pretty hopeful that this moment's not lost, because we've lost so many of these moments and we haven't made enough change.
Talking to Tim Connolly. And Tim, that other point about you're urging your players not to return to normal, but to return better. I mean, it's like one of those things that you hear or one of those things that you say, but in practicality, given all the challenges, how can you, practically, logistically, how can you go into something like this and then come out of it better? What's the process?
It's challenging because there's no roadmap. We're in uncharted water. So I think the key is admitting that. We're in professional sports, you tend to want to have all the answers. We're used to having defined schedules, and your day-to-day is very, very clear. So acknowledge that none of us know any better than the next, but also realize these opportunities to be a home court playoff team. I guess it really doesn't matter when there's no home court, but to be a top three team in the Western Conference, to be a team with the continuity we have, with the group of guys we have, And again, I think we have the best coaching staff in the NBA. So these moments are hard to replicate, and they don't come around too often. So I think our guys really enjoy each other. I think collectively they think we're going to come down here. We're going to make it worth our while. We're going to have as much fun as possible. But they're chomping at the bit to play a different team tomorrow.
Tim Connelly is my guest. Speaking of the coaching staff, then, this is an enormous Michael Malone house. I really enjoy every single time he's on this program. How would you describe how he fits into the identity and the culture of this team?
Now, Mo's a great guy. I've known him forever. He used to recruit my brother's kids in Baltimore. We were lucky enough to work together in New Orleans. Basketball lifer. Loves the game. I think he's a low ego guy. Like what I need about our team, I think we have a bunch of self-motivated guys who don't take themselves too seriously. Nikola Jokic finished third in MVP voting last year, and he doesn't enjoy the spotlight. He just wants to play ball and be around the teammates, be around his friends and family. But I think Mo's emblematic of kind of that approach, that hey, we're going to work really hard. We're not going to take ourselves too seriously. We're going to be a team that's always going to play hard and play smart. We're going to have fun doing it. I think all too often right now in sports, like the fun factor is lost. And he's never one of those guys where it's going to be drudgery.
Hey, Tim, why is that? Like, where did the fun go? How did the fun run out of sports?
Oh, man, I could talk about that for an hour. I think there's a kind of a too often sports are starting to be run like corporations. And I don't think any of us got into it. I'm sure you didn't. You got into doing this because you love sports.
You didn't get into it.
To make a job. You know, it's passion. So I think we all need to recalibrate a bit and understand that this is an outlet. It's entertainment. And it should be really, really fun. And it doesn't mean it's not the stakes are any less important. It's a pressure-driven job. But if you're not having fun in sports, do something else.
Preach. Tim Connelly joining us. Well said. All right, so you mentioned Jokic. He cleared quarantine and talked about the experience after testing positive for COVID. What was your reaction when you first heard that he had tested positive?
It was funny. I was back home in Baltimore, and I got a FaceTime call from him at 6 in the morning. So why is he FaceTiming me at 6 a.m.? And he was more apologetic. You know, he felt like he didn't know what was going on. He was apologetic. He wasn't going to be back in time for us to leave for Orlando. I said, don't apologize. It's all about your health, both mental and physical. But I kind of reflective of who he is as a guy. Thankfully he was asymptomatic the whole time. There were some challenges beyond the testing. You have to get someone from a different country. So it was challenging. Thankfully he's here. He's got great energy. He's smiling. He brings so much positive energy to the gym every day. So the minute he walked back to the gym, we felt whole again.
You know, to your point also that he's representative of this, to that point, earlier in the summer you said that you had seen a photo of him and that he had abs, something you had not seen before. At that time, I'm not sure everybody believed it, but then the pictures started to emerge. What's it say about him that he worked as hard as he did during that time to get into even better shape?
You know, he's so self-deprecating. He doesn't, he kind of disarms you with his self-deprecation, but you don't become as great a player as he is without a work ethic and a healthy ego. So I think he's always been a worker. The last part of the game, most recently, he's had a real attention to detail with his body. He wants to win. I think you see how he plays. His playoff debut last year was kind of coming out, but the guy wants to win it all. He knows the level he's at right now. You're competing with the best of the best, Hall of Famers. So how can he ensure that he can be that productive and stay on that level? And now he's, Mr. Healthy. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the other day, and he said, "You can't eat that, man. It's terrible for you." Leave me alone. I like my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But he's just a good guy that kind of dumbs down how much he cares and how hard he works. But you don't get to where he is without both those things.
Let me tell you something. The time that people start ripping peanut butter and jelly sandwiches out of our hands is the time we all have a problem. Really quickly, Tim, you're a man of many interests, and it's not just basketball. You and Woj, for instance, talked about the fact that you were reading up on international financial markets early in the hiatus. You also mentioned that you're not just a basketball guy, but you're a huge sports fan. You were a huge wrestling fan going way back to the day. When did you first get into wrestling, and who were some of the guys that you liked the most?
Growing up in Baltimore, it's the Orioles, Maryland basketball, and wrestling, probably in that order. So those three things I loved. some of my favorite wrestlers, the Big Coco Beware guy, like Georgie Animal Steel, like the British Bulldogs. And it's actually fascinating getting to know these guys more post-script, reading about them, watching documentaries. Those guys were complete rock stars. Their lifestyles are pretty epic. So it's a fun diversion to read about some of these guys you looked up to and watched when you were younger.
You know, also it goes without saying, but like the world was so different back then. The story goes that you didn't have cable TV growing up. Is that true? And if so, how did you get so into wrestling? How were you able to watch it?
True story. We didn't get cable until I was 14. Arrows was a precursor to Blockbuster. We used to rent the WrestleMania or watch the wrestling on Saturday morning. It's also funny slash, I don't know, kind of embarrassing how unpolitically correct those wrestlers were back in the day.
You know, so for sure.
Some of the, but it's fun. Like, I got a bunch of guys in the NBA who are big wrestling guys, and you know, every couple of times we connect, we have beers and talk about old wrestlers.
That's good stuff. He is the president of basketball operations for the Nuggets. In fact, one more thought about that before I let you go, Tim. The fact of the matter is, because you are who you are and you've been so effective at the gig, you've had other opportunities, probably other opportunities that would pay you even more money, yet here you are. What is it about the opportunity in Denver that means so much to you?
Well, I love the people I work with. Our ownership group. Josh Conkey's turned into a great friend. I mean, Josh played Division I basketball. He speaks the language. He gets it. Love our coaching staff. Love our training staff. Love our players. I like our stories. You know, starting 3 second-round draft picks and guys that have to make it the hard way. Guys that we're about as egoless a good sports team as you're ever going to find until we get between the lines. But I think when you find a good place and you're happy, it's hard to replicate that, and you can't always look elsewhere.
Got to remember that fact always. Denver, 43-22, first in the Northwest before the season was suspended, and they're gearing back up too. Tim, so good to have you on the show. Appreciate you. I appreciate your operation there, and it's always good to talk Nugget basketball on this program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for doing it. Nuggets are a good jungle team, really good jungle team. And I want to echo what he just said. I like the way they built that thing. I like the culture of that thing. I like the identity of that thing. I like the way they carry themselves. It goes without saying, I love their head coach.